This is Twit.
Boy, this last weekend was a little bit of an eye-opener. As a parent, and Megan, you are a parent as well, we know all too well the power that YouTube has over today's children, the on-demand nature, the impossibly vast library, the fact that 300 hours of new video is uploaded to the site every minute, and that might be an outdated statistic at this point. I think that was less than a year ago, so that might be more than that now. It's easy to think of YouTube as the modern-day replacement of, let's say, sitting your kid down in front of the television set when you have something important to get done, but we're finding more and more that seemingly familiar and innocent content on the site could be anything but. Joining us to talk about this is Sapna Maheshwari, business reporter for the New York Times. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to get you on. You wrote over the weekend about YouTube Kids. That's an app that I'm very familiar with in our home. It's an app that YouTube released in 2015 to give parents more confidence that their kids are watching age-appropriate content on their network. But you say that there are dark corners even within this app. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So I actually only learned about YouTube Kids as an independent app a couple of months ago. And it came up through some advertisers who had wondered, you know, what else is on there. And basically, through some searching, I realized this kid-friendly app had videos that were showing characters like Mickey Mouse and Nickelodeon's Paw Patrol in, you know, committing suicide, or some weird videos exploiting children. There's one of a little girl from a country overseas with kind of a cut on her forehead. And these things were being automatically suggested to children because it turns out everything on YouTube Kids is harvested from the main YouTube site.
Wow. And now, obviously, YouTube created an app called YouTube Kids, targeted at for parents to have more of a sense of confidence around what their children are seeing on YouTube, because we all know as adults and very, you know, familiar users of the full unfettered access YouTube that there's a whole gamut of stuff that you can find there, so you can get yourself into trouble very quickly. YouTube Kids, it seems in this case anyways, is giving a false sense of security to these parents, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely from the ones I talked to. And the interesting thing was, you know, I didn't find these moms and parents on Reddit. They were posting to their friends and family on Facebook. And a lot of them, when you set up the app, it asks if your kid is in preschool or older than that so they can populate your home screen. A lot of these mothers were saying, you know, I thought that meant this whole app was on so-called preschool settings. And so there's misunderstandings like that. That made them even more unprepared for the really disturbing videos that their kids then encountered.
Like so many of these tools, the algorithms are black boxes. Like, we don't really know. No, YouTube's not telling us, Facebook, none of these companies are telling us how these algorithms work at all. But from your research, could you tell if people were trying to, these video creators were trying to get on the YouTube Kids app, and were they trying to do it just to cause chaos or for profit, or why?
Well, a lot of that remains a mystery. I mean, but I think the most important distinction is this isn't satire in the way you think of, say, Family Guy, Cookie Monster being, you know, in a funny situation on one of those shows. They're very much targeted by the titles to say Family Finger Song, which is a popular YouTube.
Oh, my goodness. I've heard that song so many times.
Oh. It's very catchy. I heard it once and I wanted to keep singing it all day.
So, yeah, they definitely said, you know, for educational purposes, for the entertainment of kids. I tried to reach a lot of the creators, and one of them was connected to a Facebook page where they kind of responded and said, hey, these are cute, funny kid videos. So they're definitely targeting kids. And then a lot of them, when you access them on the main YouTube site, we're running ads. So the best we can tell right now is, yes, they're targeting kids. And the biggest incentive so far seems to be money, though. You know, who knows what else, you know, what as that might be.
Well, I mean, you know, this moment in time is continually kind of shrouded in the sense that people are starting to second guess, question technology, question big technology and the decisions that they're making, you know, because much of their decisions hinges on the fact that they're making money. And so, and their algorithms are making it easier for them to make money. But it turns out that those algorithms then turn around and have unintended consequences. I mean, when I've seen, like, I went into the watch history of my children. I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. My 7-year-old, by looking at the watch history and kind of keeping connected with what she's watching, she does a pretty good job maneuvering through this. I've talked to her about this stuff. My 4-year-old, I mean, she's 4 years old. She's, you know, not very old as far as that's concerned. So you can't trust that she has any sort of sense that when she sees this video of a snake coming out of a toilet in the YouTube's kids app, which sounds, on one hand, sounds innocent, but on the other hand, when you look at it through the eyes of a 4-year-old, like, they see that, and that can actually affect how they see going into the bathroom, like being scared to just walk into the bathroom anymore because they think a snake might actually come out of the toilet. And that's tame compared to some of the stuff that I saw in her watch history.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to this really interesting doctor at Harvard, who, he's a pediatrics professor, and he has a punny blog called the Mediatrician. And yes, and so he is great, and he really looks at this stuff and told me that kids really develop such bonds with characters that they know and love, which are often what are being parodied here by these kind of external video makers. And I mean, and you can see it when you see little kids try and get an autograph from Mickey Mouse at Disney World. They think they actually met that character.
Yes.
And so they don't have a sense of irony. They don't understand, you know, when Paw Patrol characters die, they actually die in their mind. And that can be traumatizing. You don't know what the long-term effects are or short-term effects are, maybe nightmares for kids who are getting exposed to this stuff.
So one of the parents that you talked to in your article kept using YouTube Kids even after she discovered that her kids were watching some disturbing videos. Does that surprise you that she continued to use it even after it? She felt her child was traumatized?
Yeah, I mean, it was surprising that she was willing to. Her reasoning was that this is such a loved app by her child, and she didn't want to take it away cold turkey. So she figured she would just supervise him and watch it with him, which actually, when I talked to YouTube, their point was, you know, they kind of encourage co-viewing, which is what they call watching with a parent. But I don't know if that's necessarily a realistic way of looking at an app on a tablet or a phone. Where it is different from the TV. You can't necessarily see it from the kitchen if you're a parent that's cooking or something like that while your kid is playing or watching something.
Yeah, like I said in setting this up, I mean, as a parent who has definitely, you know, both of our kids have tablets, they have access to our tablets anyways. We only really give them a couple of hours on the weekend. Throughout the week, they don't have any access to it. But those, I mean, they cherish that time. They look forward to Saturday morning, waking up and being able to have a couple of hours to watch whatever they want. They like being in control. They like having the ability to make these decisions and everything. And as a parent, you see an app like this, and I mean, you always know that you're entrusting it, and maybe you'll be let down a little bit. But to see that there are people creating content that on its surface looks very innocent. When you see the thumbnail, for example, you know, you see very familiar characters, copyrighted characters, and it looks innocent. But then when you dive into it and you really watch it, I mean, it might not even be outwardly like disgusting or, you know, sinister or whatever, but there's something very off about the pairing of this like plinky plonky lullaby music that if you're a parent in the other room, you hear the lullaby music, you think everything's fine. They're watching a lullaby video. But then when you really watch it, you see that Mickey Mouse is getting run over by a car, and that music is intermixed with this like deafening scream, and it's almost like you said, there's a monetary incentive here, but there also seems to be this undercurrent of just insidiousness with it, where it's like, you know, we don't know the effects that these videos would have on an untrained eye, a kid as young as 4 years old. But it's being fed to them through this app, and parents just need to be more dialed into what their kids are watching, I guess.
Right. And even when we were writing this story, my editors were asking, you know, are there other apps that have these same challenges? And at least definitely not on the size of YouTube, but you look at the competitors like HBO with Sesame Street recently, or Amazon Kids Studios, Netflix has a lot of popular kids shows. And there's bigger teams of people working to create original content in those situations. Here it's just kind of fascinating. And in this case, at least, a little bit horrifying to see what we know as user-generated content being served up to maybe unsuspecting three-year-olds.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if these are just like chaos monkeys, people are like, I want to create the most horrifying video to get it kids. It's still, there's still a monetary incentive here, because YouTube is using an algorithm and not people to look at it and say, like, you know what, that Elsa and Spider-Man video is disturbing, we'll take it out. So, I mean, is there really any way to fix this besides removing the advertising, the monetary aspect of this?
Well, you know, I think people are starting to think about that. One thing that's come up in conversations with folks is that YouTube Kids was not quite built from the ground up for kids. Like, it's taking these videos from main YouTube and then pulling them over through algorithms. So who knows? Maybe there are things they can do. Maybe they could rebuild the app in certain ways. Maybe they could vet them in different ways. But I'm not sure. I mean, it's definitely a new risk for parents. And I think it's a bit eye-opening, makes you think a little bit about some of the safeguards that have been in place as, you know, the three of us were growing up, that just don't exist on digital properties and for kids today and for parents today.
Yeah, it's definitely a complicated scenario. I mean, your children are a little bit older than mine.
I've still deleted YouTube just because of the waste of time. And like, I'll look through their history, and it's not that bad. It's like dropping iPhones off the, you know, tall buildings, that sort of thing. But it's just, it doesn't end after their kids.
No, totally. I look at a lot of this content, you know, and we've talked a little bit about the content being derived from these algorithmic choices, keywords. You look at the titles and it's keyword salad. And then they create content that matches those keywords. And like, when I actually watch any of that, sit down and actually watch it, you just realize like there's no substance to it. There's the children aren't learning anything from this. It's just mindless. And I guess this is where I go, well, obviously I'm a grown up and I don't get it. But I know when I was a kid, at least if I was watching something bad, it went through layers upon layers of people that were producing this to the point that it was professional enough to broadcast on television. Here, it's just like, here's a mishmash salad of nothingness, and we'll feed it to you for 2 hours. And that just doesn't seem like a good idea. Because that's where I stand anyways. I don't know if there's much more to say on this other than it just gives me the creeps. But Sapna Maheshwari, really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about this, and for spending all the time in the article. It was a fantastic article.
I really appreciate that. Thanks.
Absolutely. NewYorkTimes.com. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Have a good night.